Good afternoon. This is Gail Sylvia, your host of SylviaGlobal.com. Joining me today is Jeremy Kubicek. Help me with your last name, Jeremy. I should have asked you that right before.
Kubicek.
Yes. Jeremy Kubicek in Georgia, here in the United States. He is the founder and the CEO of Giant Impact. They've been in business for more than 10 years, and their vision is cultivating a new kind of leadership based on humility and serving. They also, as a part of Jeremy's background, he's described himself as a serial entrepreneur. Jeremy, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you, Gail. Excited to be with you and chat today.
Thank you so much. Talk to us about, describe serial entrepreneur. What are some of the experiences that you have had as an entrepreneur that has resulted in a series of business ventures?
Well, you think about an entrepreneur, I often think of it as a pioneer and someone who's willing to start and willing to risk and willing to go places that other people wouldn't go. So when I was in my early 20s, I moved to Moscow, Russia, and co-founded with some other partners a business there that was marketing and accounting and all types of different businesses. And then I came back to the United States and worked for a number of different entities and then started a few divisions and ultimately a number of dot-coms in the dot-com days. And so the idea of founding and starting and is something that I think entrepreneurs are particularly good at, and they just need to understand when it's time to pass things on to other people, and that's just what I've been focusing on doing, is starting things and turning it over to people who are better at other things.
What are indications for you when it's time to pass the baton?
Part of it is passion. I think an entrepreneur, if you truly know yourself as a leader, and I spend a lot of time talking about that, truly understanding yourself, then you know how you can lead yourself, right? You can coach yourself. And when that happens, you get to a place you realize my passion's waning, the excitement's not there, or simply of, hey, I've reached my capacity and someone could do it better than me. And I think it's the ability to let go. It's that time that when you can truly transfer it, that's when most growth happens in organizations.
How have you distinguished in your own entrepreneurial career, when it's time to let go versus wanting to hold on because of just emotional attachment or other, having not reached the goals that you originally set out for, knowing that, it's when it's time to move on, but it's sooner than you had anticipated?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of it is you have to manage emotion. So I actually just had a lunch meeting today working and talking it through with someone about certain things that are exceeding my expectations and certain things that aren't exceeding my expectations, and how do you manage those and also go, there's other people who can do it better. So for me, about a year ago, I realized that this company wouldn't grow if I was continuing to run the day-to-day operations, because I'm not a day-to-day guy. I'm a visionary strategist. I'm always thinking about partnerships and alliances, and so I brought a guy named Dave Ray on, and Dave is running the day-to-day operations of the business. It's much more clean. It's much more focused. And that was I don't think anyone else was necessarily ready for me, but I knew I was ready. Mm-hmm. And it was good for the company.
What lessons have you learned, Jeremy, from failure or perceived failure?
Well, so I go back to this whole self-awareness. I teach on knowing yourself and leading yourself. So when failure, is really not hitting certain results or not hitting, reaching certain marks that you've placed in your mind, some of the failure is in your head, and some of the failure is on a bottom line or on a P&L statement. For business leaders, though, it really comes down to asking three questions. And I always ask these. One, what is it you're trying to prove and to whom? What are you trying to prove to people? Two, what are you afraid of losing? And three, what are you trying to hide? And those three, really, if you can answer those with real clear intent, then really it's like, I haven't really failed. Maybe the business failed, but I personally haven't failed. So I think there's a separation between a business failure and a personal failure that needs to take place. So in my own life, I've had dot-coms that have dried up, a business that dried up during the dot-com bust. It was really a capital. It was really an industry failure. So, you know, I turned a business off. Did that mean I failed? Well, if it had continued to operate and the market was ready for it, I think it would have been successful. So I think failure is something that I look at, and it's really a friend. It's not an enemy. And so I've been looking at it from the form of it's a pruning process. Every time I fail, I get to be pruned, and I get to look at things a little differently.
How have you incorporated humility and serving into profitable business models?
Yeah, so I've got a book called Leadership is Dead, and the book focuses on this. And the theme or the flow of leadership for me is that leadership is influence, and influence is power. And when you understand that, then you understand there's really two tracks. There's a humility-based leadership track, and there's a pride-based leadership track. And it's all based on what you do with the power. So, for instance, if your intent is for other people, then you'll empower people. You'll use that power to empower. And that will look like service, and it will look like liberation. You'll really want to liberate people to be the best they can be. However, if your intent is focused on yourself or preserving yourself or protecting yourself or trying to gain something for yourself, then your tendency is to overpower, which is the opposite, really, of a servant leader or a humility-based leader. And it leads to a manipulation and ultimately domination over people. And so for me, I've been checking what's my intent. The intent will direct whether I'll be humility-based or pride-based. And so to understand the flow of leadership, it really is really important to understand your own personal motive and your own personal intent.
Jeremy, talk about transformation and character. You know, as I know that character is an important part of your business model, and yeah. So is competence and influence.
Yeah, so, you know, I like how Henry Cloud has talked about character. And really, it's when leaders have competence to accomplish things, do they have the character not to mess it up? And I was talking with someone who's really going through some personal issues and personal character issues, and they're having to make some choices on who they want to be. And you know, they look at certain lifestyles, and they're seeing that as attractive, but at the core, it's not a character-based model. So every leader has to understand what character really is to them. Is lying okay? Is manipulating okay? Is cheating okay? Is false innuendos to get business okay? You know, all those things are character issues at the heart. And again, I go back to typically they're driven based on insecurity because they're trying to prove, they're afraid to lose, or they're trying to hide. So once you get to the place where you can name the things that you're having issues with, and you can start to deal with them, that's when transformation tends
to happen. How do you align yourself with people of like character and value when creating business relationships and partnerships?
Well, I often say it's relationship before opportunity. If you're seeking a relationship and doing it with the right motive, then people will want to be around you. What happens when people see you doing the right things, then you become influential. People see you as an influence. Your leadership goes up, you become more attractive, and people want to do business with you. And the other side, if you're always looking for the opportunity and always looking for the quick win, people know that too. They can sniff it out. So I often say bad character sniffs out bad character, and good character sniffs out good character. And as I tell my three kids, bad friends equal bad life. It's the same in business. Bad business relationships equals a bad business life. So for me, it's about relationship. When I focus on giving, I find that I often receive far more in advance.
Does it affect your bottom line and your ROI?
Yeah, very much so. But it, you know, it's a choice that I've made. Now I know people who have done really well financially and they cheated along the way. I can name a couple of guys that I know personally, but I also know their lifestyle and how miserable they are. And so there's something even more attractive, and it's one word. It's called peace.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Being able to go to sleep at night and sleep peacefully and arise and greet each new day with a smile on your face and this grounded sense of peace. Speak
right.
to that. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, again, I don't worry about running into people when I'm at a restaurant or whatever. I'm not trying to hide if I see someone come in the room because I've chosen to lead as a humility-based leader. I've chosen to be for others. And so when you really are for other people, and I think there's three areas. You can be for someone, you can be against someone, or you can be for yourself. Most people are simply for themselves. But if you can actively be for someone and for other people and they know it, then not only does opportunity come your way, but peace comes your way because you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's something that I'm trying to practice and trying to teach our teams in volumes.
Talk about the influence ROI.
Well, yeah. So when I say this phrase, if you give it all away, you'll get it all back. The majority of people I know don't believe that. So, but when you have influence in someone's life, so let me just give you an example. Let's say, Gail, that you came to me with some help. Or I'll give you an example. Today, I had a female CEO, great friend, person that I just really value her. She sent me an email asking my request for me to spend some significant time helping her on her business. Well, it's a 3 to 5 hours of just giving to the business. My quick response was, sure, would love to. Let me know how and when, because I value who she is and believe that she'll hear me well. Well, because of that influence, she then sent me back saying, you know, I'd like to do this, that, and the other thing for you and your company. Well, I wasn't asking for that, but it was just the fact that I gave myself to her to help her. It comes back in droves because it's just the nature of it. When you plant good seed and good soil, you get good crops. And that's the influence ROI.
Where did this come from in your development? Is it based on family religious beliefs? Is it based on experiences that you had as a child and witnessed it through behaviors of others within your home? How did you develop this sense of value in applying it to your business practices?
Well, I'm a farm boy, so I grew up on a tractor. I grew up with my dad, and I have a close relationship. And he always said, in your 20s, it's not what you do, it's who you work for. Make sure that you spend time with the right people. So I started devoting myself to spending time with people and mentors along the way. And in my 20s, my 30s, my early 40s, I've been doing that. And I've really been focused on who you know is more important than what you do at that stage of the game. And then I also have been just seeking wisdom. So, you know, just learning to ask God for wisdom, to seek wisdom and know what wisdom does. I think wisdom really becomes a counterpart to a business person, the smart business people anyway. And then the last part is just practice. I've been around some really bad leaders. And so that helps to go, I never want to do that ever. I don't want to be around this person. I want to be this guy. And so both male and female, I've learned so much from watching leaders. And then my pastime happens to be I read biographies. So most of the books I read are biographies, and I'll learn a ton about certain things and learn and watch what other people are doing. I'm currently going through Ronald Reagan's journals, and it's unbelievable the journal entries he makes about his wife and their respect and love for each other and the way he ran the White House and so on and so forth. So,
Jeremy, giant impact. The mission of it is to, in three words, you know, what is the mission of Giant Impact and what is the vision for the future with it?
Yeah, well, I wish I could give you three words. It's this one sentence, though. It's our goal is to change the leadership culture from pride-based leadership to humility-based leadership. So the way that we change is to really, it's helping people change. It's helping people transform. It's helping them adapt. And so we use big events like the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast. We'll have 120,000 people in 725 locations around the world. 18 countries, I believe, was what we have today. And it's a way for us to broadcast our style of leadership with Pat Lencioni as one of our speakers and Marcus Buckingham, Tim Tebow, so on and so forth. We've got a really good lineup. And then we use resources. So we have people who leverage our resources. And we've got leaders all over the world, and we tell them all the time to leverage us. So we have coaches and different leadership companies and groups. They'll use our resources for their programs and their teams.
Give an example of how they utilize your resources.
Well, we've got several programs. We've got something called the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast Network, or we'll have the Leader Network is really what it is. And it's content that is applicable. So we have universities that are using our leader networks and our content, and we're private labeling it for them. We have a number of companies doing this too, where they're using our leader network and they'll put their name on it, and then that will become content that will be branded on their behalf.
What are the steps that they take in order to make that happen?
It's basically a relationship. So we form that, we start through and say, well, tell us what your goals are, what are you trying to accomplish, and then we basically create, we have content that is already available, and then we help them create content as well, and then they get a royalty back. So it's a way for them to make money and influence their groups or alumni or any of their association members. That's one example.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Chick-fil-A leadership and what's coming up. What will be the experience, the takeaways for people participating in that, and how can our listeners participate who are around the world?
Well, there's two ways. It's really a fascinating business model. This is another example of how people leverage us. We've created a world-class leadership event called the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast. It's one of those situations where people can't get Jim Collins, Tony Blair, Pat Lencioni. They can't get these speakers in their town, per se, but they can broadcast them and bring them in. So we've created a venue and an opportunity that people can take what we've already developed, and they can private label it themselves. We've got a group in Arkansas, for instance, called Work Matters. It's the Work Matters Chick-fil-A LeaderCast, or the Work Matters LeaderCast. It's brought in to their area, and they have 1,600 people watching the event, and then they charge tickets for that, and so they'll make money. So the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast is actually an entrepreneurial event that people around the globe, 725 people, have signed up to be host sites so they can give this content out to their communities. And then they have a platform to share whatever message that they want, whether they have a company they want to promote or sponsor or what have you. So one way to do it is really for next year to think about potentially hosting and bringing this into your company. Apple Computers is watching this, for instance, for they're opening it up to their employees. Or bring it into your community, like if you're a chamber member or a coach or what have you. For this year, well, it's coming up Friday. So if you go to chickfilaleadercast.com or simply leadercast.com, then you'll go and look and say find a host site or find a location. Type in your zip code, and it'll pull up the 3 to 4 locations that are closest to you. And then go attend it. Be a part of it. It's an unbelievably fun experience, even from a simulcast. We try to make it like made for TV, if you will. There's humor, there's inspiration, there's practical leadership. We'll have Angela Arntz from Burberry there. We'll have Soledad O'Brien speaking. We have a number of different leaders from a number of different areas. So that's the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast.
Our world needs everyday leaders who will choose to make it a better place. I'm quoting from the Chick-fil-A opening paragraph here, and it says that's what Chick-fil-A Leadership Cast 2012 is all about. Where do you see this going in the next 5 years? How has it grown from where it began? You know.
Well, today, this Friday, it will have become the largest leadership event in North America. We think it may be the world, but we can't prove that. So we know we can prove it for North America. Now, I say all that and go, and that doesn't sound very humble. The reality is what I'm so excited about is that people are leveraging us. So I think the more that we can find like-hearted partners who want to bring this into their communities and want to leverage it and do good things with it. We have some people who are paying the host's license fee, getting ticket sales, and they're giving it away for different nonprofit groups and different charities. However you wanted to be a part of this, we think this could be at 2 million people in the next 3 years and really, really be significant in local communities, and that's our goal.
A large percentage of the Sylvia Global audience are females, and they're females in leadership positions. When I look through your website, I see approximately 15 of your 33 team members are women. And what about, do you have any special message to women in leadership?
One, I'm married to one, and I have two kids and a female dog, but I know, I'm joking in that regard.
I know,
but
I got you.
No, but you know, I really believe, I think there are definitely differences, one in the way that men and women think, and we value the way that women think, and even specifically everyday leaders, probably about a third to maybe half of our attendees are actually female, and some of our most vocal leaders are females. And so I think that the season of life that we're in, it's really, really important to understand and value the passion and the perspective that women bring into the marketplace. But other than that, I think there are some just basic things that we all share. Do we know ourselves and do we lead? Are we leading ourselves? And so in the midst of the diversity, there's also things I think we can all, as leaders, focus on. And so we're just ready to partner with people, whether male or female, who can really want to go after this message of humility-based leadership. And in fact, one last thing, Gail, we're starting a presidential election on Friday, and it's called Humble for President. And the whole, you can go to humbleforpresident.com and check it out. But our whole mission and message is to ask every person who's a president, male or female, to vote to become a humble leader. But we're also, on the national political level, we're asking for different questions in our presidential election.
Different
things. That's what Humble for President is, and it's all based on the same idea of humility.
Jeremy Kubitschek, CEO of Giant Impact, and thank you for joining us. Chick-fil-A LeaderCast.com.
That's right.
And it happens this Friday and around the world. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I look forward to partnering with you next year, but kicking it off with this discussion this year on SylviaGlobal.com. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time.
You got it. Thank you, Gail.
Congratulations.
All right, thanks.
Much success.
Bye-bye.